Before you, I was playing the game of pieces. Pieces of men danced around the field of loneliness. Scattered pieces of defeat and brokenness. You blew in like a gentle breeze and scattered the remnants of those that turned out to be narcissistic and unbalanced. You brought with you sweet, sweet music, keeping rhythms of my heart's drumbeat, calming my emotions with a consistent baseline of straightforwardness and honesty, holding my hands to guide me out of the cluttered confusion of cheaters, liars, and emotional immaturity, seeking me, seeing me, knowing me in a natural way. So relieved, I grabbed your hand, anxious to dive into the unknown, ready to do something different. I followed the drums, the familiar rhythm that agrees to my own heart's longing, held on to the bass line and its anchoring of the harmonic framework yet to come. She felt the melody of the keyboard that tickled my stomach with the excitement of things to become. And I decided immediately to dance with you into the unknown and risky business of love, letting my soul lead as it tunes itself to the music of possibilities and hopefulness, finally leaving behind broken pieces of men. Behold, stands a whole man that is leading the dance into a field of dreams.
Peace and lights, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. This is Sweet Franchon, and you just listened to Field of Dreams by yours truly. I was pleasantly surprised to hear our producer choose that as our opening selection today. I am Sweet Franchon, spelled SUITEFRANCHON. I am your host for Beyond the Word here at Master Grid Radio with your producer, the lovely Jacqueline Taylor Adams. And before we even begin and we go any further, please, please join me in saying a happy, happy birthday to our producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams. Jacqueline, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, sis. I'm so glad that we work together and you are phenomenal and an awesome woman who shares her gifts with the world unselfishly. So I just wanted to say that while we have the line open and while everybody is listening. So like I said, welcome to Master Grid Radio. You're listening to Beyond the Word with Sweet Franchon. And tonight we're going to talk about a few things. I want to make sure that if you're online or you like to join us, that you make sure that you share on your social media how to reach us. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and put in Master Grid Radio, of course, or just simply call 6716-7994. And please, please press 1 if you would like to speak with me. Tonight, I'm excited. This is our Juneteenth edition where we are going to take calls, and you get to pick my brain if you call in. Again, what is Beyond the Word? For those of you listening for the first time, Beyond the Word is a Blog Talk Radio platform in which we share monthly with yours truly on opportunities, how to grow your business, and anything you'd like to know about spoken word and going beyond just an open mic format or beyond what we traditionally believe are venues, events, or outlets for spoken word. So we talk about various things every month, and we always have such wonderful guests on the line. And I think this, if you are in the spoken word arena and you are already in it, you've been in it for quite some time, if you feel stagnant, if you feel like you just want to see if what you're going through, if others have gone through it, if you're trying to grow, open up your platform, you know, this is where you want to call. You want to listen in every month. I promise you, you will never, ever, ever be disappointed. Our visionary, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and our producer, she's also the producer, executive producer of this, of our show, has had the foresight, wherewithal, and love for spoken word to make sure that we are sharing with everyone. So we're going to get started with the show shortly. I just want to give everyone a few moments to share, to get prepared for, get your notepad out, call in. Like I said, if you are so moved to speak with me today, call 646-716-7994, and I'm here for you tonight for an entire hour, okay? For an entire hour, we want to be with you, and we want to talk and share. Now, the time goes very quickly. The time goes very quickly. So I would suggest you get online right now. And we do have a caller. So we're excited. We're excited to share with you today. So we're going to start off. We're going to get right into it. I'm going to give a few things before we pull in our guest. If you are a spoken word artist, I want you to think about what products you have and which products are the best for you, for your style of delivery. I want you to think about those things, and if you have any questions specifically on how to get them done, give me a call and I'd be glad to help you. Always remiss, so I want to tell those who are hearing my voice for the first time who I am. My name is Sweet, spelled like the hotel suite, S-U-I-T-E, Franchon, F-R-A-N-C-H-O-N. I am a producer, executive producer, composer, songwriter, author, spoken word artist, and director, and television and radio personality as well. I started out, just like most of you, I started out simply writing my thoughts on paper and always had a poetic way about sharing my thoughts on paper. I never expected to share it with the public when I was writing. I never expected to be on stage. I never expected to add music. I never expected to be an author. I never expected to create a live music production using poetry as the delivery. I never expected to do all the things that I'm doing. I never expected to be a host of Master Grid Radio either. You know, Jacqueline sought me out, and that's how I've gotten here. It's been an evolution, fast and furious. I have, since I got started, I produce live shows, create, direct, and produce, and perform in live shows. But I also have launched an EP soon. You just heard one of the tracks from my upcoming EP. I have 5 of the 6 tracks completed, which you can already get online as well. Living the Journey. We talked about that last month, about getting your book published and what were the options and what was the vehicle to do that. We talked before that on producing your music, getting it mastered, getting it online, how to share it. We talked before about that, how to produce your own live shows and telling the story and what it looks like through poetry. So we've talked about a few things. So today, as I said, Jacqueline and her divine wisdom has decided that we shall allow opportunity for you to just simply call in and pick my brain, okay? So that's why we're here today, and thank you so much for listening. So first on the line today, I'm going to invite Andrea Nicole on the line. Andrea, are you with us? While we're waiting for her to tap in, let me tell you a little bit about Andrea. Andrea Nicole.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know if you guys could hear me or not. Go ahead.
We can hear you now. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you before you chime in.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. She's a poet as well. Her artist and a spoken word artist. She's building her artistic business, and we're excited that she has written work The first product of development, I think, is going to be a book of poetry, so I'd love to hear about that and some other things. But she's performed mostly, I believe you're based in North Carolina?
Yes, correct? That is correct, in North Carolina,
okay, good,
Charlotte.
Good. Charlotte, oh, well, we love Charlotte. Charlotte's a vibrant and ever-evolving city, so we're glad to hear.
Oh, for sure, I'm coming to learn that very quickly.
Yes, we're so glad to hear that you're there, and part of that, you know, you're on the forefront of it, to be honest with you. So we are glad you're with us today. Everybody, please welcome Ms. Andrea Nicole, who's joined us today, and she's going to tell you more about how to find her and follow her online on social media. But today, you are the first guest on the line, Andrea. So before you pick my brain, why don't you tell everyone, again, what you're working on more specifically, and also let them know how to find you.
Okay, well, as you stated, my name is Andrea Nicole Williams. You can find me on Facebook as Andrea Nicole Williams. I currently don't have Instagram or, you know, Snapchat or anything set up, but it's obvious that I need one because I'm finding out as I go how important social media and the internet, you know, comes into play when trying to expand your brand and, you know, network and different things like that. So, like I said, I do have a very active Facebook page, Andrea Nicole Williams, and I am based in Charlotte, North Carolina, originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I've been writing since I was a child, honestly, and now I'm 34, and I just got the courage to get on stage for the first time and actually share my work with someone other than, you know, my family and people that just tell me everything that I do is great. I was very insecure about my work. I just thought, you know, I was a little creative, but they were just thoughts. But the more I felt the urgency to get things out and to have a voice, I realized how important my voice is and how important it is for me to speak.
Okay, so tell me, since you're 34, I know you have questions for me, but I need you to tell me. Tell me, since you're 34 and you are just now, you've just decided to share your gift beyond your immediate family, your immediate circle, what happened in your life to make you do that? Because usually
well,
it's something that happens in our lives.
Yeah, well, definitely I know exactly what happened. I kind of was broken down beyond anything that I ever thought that I could recover from. You know, divorce, living out in the middle of nowhere, you know, in North Carolina by myself, delivering a baby by myself. So I went through all of these things and I just developed this sense of fearlessness and determination to speak and have my voice finally heard. And when I moved to Charlotte, when I moved back to Charlotte from Fayetteville, North Carolina, I decided that there was no greater time for me to shed all of my insecurities, all of my fears, you know, and I just figured if I can go through that, I can go through anything. And I was just inspired by so much creativity around me because, like you said, Charlotte is the forefront, and they've been so welcoming. And the spoken word community has been very inviting and very supportive, and it just gives me the drive and the encouragement just to keep going.
Good, good. Well, we want to start there. I want to share with everyone a part of my story that I don't share often, that I also was going through a divorce, a difficult time, a dark time in my life, coming out of that. And I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and for the first time I found in like 10 years or more, I had an opportunity to have some time to myself, and I really didn't know what to do with that time anymore because it had been so consumed by family, kids, and a husband. And then, as the divine would have it, a commercial came on about open mic with a live jazz band in Philadelphia, Warm Gaddy. Shout out to Arpeggio Jazz Band and that boy Dave. And they were doing an event in Philadelphia every week. And I found my way there. And literally, that's how I got started because they created a safe place, as you said. The art community was really popping at the time in Philly. And they created a safe space where I felt that I can share my thoughts and poems I had only been writing in my journal. And that's actually how it got started, too. So we're going to use that as a learning point right now, especially for any women that are listening, especially
women
of a certain age, right?
Most Definitely. And that's why I've branded myself 9917, and I know a lot of people look at it and they say, what does 9917 mean? Well, I became a mother in 1999 at the age of 16 years old. My son mm-hmm. actually just graduated from high school, and he's on his way to college, and he's doing really, really well. But 1999 was a very, you know, pivotal year for me because I became a mother, and I became a woman, you know, way before I should have. And then, as previously stated, 2017 is when I just decided, you know, like I said, to just shed all of that stuff that we women carry around, worrying about the kids and the husband and how we're going to do this. And I really felt like it was just time for me to do something for me. And the first night that I went to do spoken word, I didn't even tell anyone. I didn't want to make a big fuss about it. It was just something that I wanted to do for myself. It was kind of like a personal challenge, and I knew that once I crossed that barrier, there was no turning back.
Okay. Yes, yes, true that, true that. So that's happened to all of us, and not all of us, but it's happened to a lot of us, where we decide at the after, we decided after taking care of so many people that it was time for us to do something for ourselves. So I
and not only
awesome
time, but it's okay for us
and
to
it's
do
okay.
something for ourselves because we
right.
feel so guilty.
Right. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right, it's okay. It's okay. And I read a book that really helped me. And I remember it said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Exactly.
And it struck with me, it stood with me, that, and especially as black women, we have a tendency to believe that we can't take our superwoman cape off, that it's not okay, and we always put ourselves last. And so I find that the majority of people that I speak with, that is what they love about my story, is that I haven't let life and other things stop me, no matter how old or young you are. So that's important. So now she's supposed to be picking my brain, but as you see, we're bouncing off of one another right now.
We're driving, right?
Right, which is awesome. But, you know, people don't realize or know that I'm 49. I didn't really get started until I was about 35. Then I stopped again because being a single mother, suddenly, you know, they were busy. But I remember specifically at 40 years old, I was so miserable just working for other people and doing everything. I felt bad. You slipped. Let me say this. This is a moment I want to share. Oftentimes, we slip back into survival mode.
Oh, yes.
All of our survival mechanisms kick in. And so we slip back into that. And then we let go of what we had started in the first place. And that was happening. I knew I needed to do this poetry thing. It moved my spirit and soul, and it made me feel so complete and full. And then life started happening. I got a job, you know, an executive position. You know, I had to work 60 hours a week or more. Then I had the babies. They were active in all these activities. And the next thing I know, 10 years passed again. And I remember just feeling, like, dark again. And I remember saying, okay, God, if you give me a chance to do this again, nothing in my life will stop me or be a distraction. And in that process, I'm just sharing this because I want you to know that the greatness comes. The goodness comes. And every time you're in a lot of pain, bigger breakthroughs happen.
Yeah.
So I remember right after I made that commitment, my son, my youngest son, who was like the golden child, you know, was supposed to play, you know, was being watched for football and, you know, my golden child, right? Never gave, you know, was my good child, my child, right? He got arrested. The cops busted my door and arrested my baby. So I'm going through that. Then he had a newborn child and my first grandchild. Then my grandmother. So literally in my house, I was suddenly responsible for taking care. My daughter was home and my other son was home, my grandmother and my daughter. So here I am, making the most money, the most stable body, having to care for all of these people in my home. But I still didn't let it stop me. Then, you know, illness. But like, all I'm saying to you is there was one thing after another. Every time I got prepared, I prepared myself to go to the next level with my, at this point I'm seeing it more of as a spoken word business, there will be something traumatic that happens. It's happened more recently. I got hit by a car in January. As soon as I said, okay, now this is where we're going to go with the business. This is how we're going to grow. This is what we're going to do. I get hit by a car. My grandmother goes into hospice, like one thing after another. But I'm sharing this with you as Andrea Nicole is sharing her story as well, how important it is, because people don't understand mentorship is part of that, is getting to the root of what stops you. So with each traumatic incident that seems to put me on, put you on pause or stop you, I'm telling you don't stop. I'm telling you that life is going to happen, so you might as well do something you love in the along with it.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, I kind of envision life now as like this huge ocean, and in the ocean you can't stop waves. They're going to come, and you have two choices. You can either fight against them, or you can just allow them to flow through you. And I've just decided to allow it to flow through me, because I've learned with that vulnerability and just with that effortlessness, so much beauty and so much inspiration comes through it. So you can't be afraid to go through, you know, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to lead you to something more beautiful than you ever even imagined. So you just have to allow yourself to go through it and breathe and know that it's going to be okay.
And it's going to be okay. And one of the things I always say is the magic is on the other side of pain. The magic is on the other side of the pain. Same thing. You got to push through it. Ride the wave, as Andrea suggested. So we can talk about 100. I'm going to let you ask me a few more questions in a moment. We can talk about 100 things, but I really want to, I'm sorry to dwell on this, but it's important that we understand and know that you must do something you love, because life is going to happen anyway. Period, point blank. Life is going to happen anyway, right? So you got to do something you love in the meantime and try not to fall back to survival mode, because it's very easy to do so. It's very easy to slip into survival mode where you just like, a bill got to be paid, money, I ain't got no money. It's very easy to slip into that. But keep working on it anyway. Keep working toward it anyway. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Take a bite into it every single day, no matter what. Some days I don't feel like, for example, some days I don't feel like doing contracts and vision plans and production schedules and that. I don't feel like doing that part. Then there's some days I'd rather do that, because I don't feel like I'm in a creative space where I can write and create, okay? Then there's some days at times I just don't feel like doing the mundane stuff, returning emails and phone calls. But what I do is make sure that every day, no matter what, I don't care if you have two jobs, I don't care if you've got a job and Uber and grandkids, I don't care what your children, I don't care what it is, every day, take a bite out of it. Every day, do something, okay? That's the first advice I want to give you. Well, that's the second. The second advice is every day, take a bite, okay? So we've done that. We're going to talk a little bit now. I don't think we need to go to commercial break, because I love when energy starts flowing, I don't worry about that. And we also have a caller on the line. Caller, if you like to join the conversation with Nicole and I, please make sure you press 1 so our producer can plug you in. So, Andrea Nicole, I'm all yours. Tell me. Ask me a question. You have been chosen, selected by Jacqueline to pick my brain.
Humbled by this experience. You guys have no idea. I don't want to get into it, but I just want to make a point to say that I'm really grateful for this exposure, for this conversation, you know, for any interest in anything that I have to say. You know, this is really a very moving experience for me. But I think first I want to ask the most obvious question for, I would think, a new spoken word artist. How important do you think it is to memorize your work? Because I write so much, finished pieces, unfinished pieces, and when I do open mics, when I started doing them, I read from my phone, but I'm a very animated person, so I don't think it matters either way, but I want to know what you think.
Okay, good question. And see, Jacqueline, let me just say this. First of all, thank you for your kind words. Secondly, Jacqueline is amazing. She has this innate gift to know who to put in contact with whom. I don't know how she remembers all these people and these things and these. I really don't. But now that I've heard your story, it's making all the sense in the world why she wanted to be a guest for
the
show. Right, right. It makes all the sense in the world, because our stories are similar. And just to your point about memorization, that I also know as well, that she knows that about me. So let me say this to you. It depends. It depends on how you want to deliver your message, and it depends on your audience, okay? So that's important to know. I'm going to tell you, when you're doing the, generally speaking, the spoken word open mic venues, they don't respect you unless you memorize your pieces, your piece, generally, because they're more competitive, if you know what
right.
I mean. However, Nikki Giovanni said to me to my face about 15 years ago that she still reads from her book. You know what I mean?
Right.
But her audiences are usually in the literary college market, so they respect and honor the written word.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. You understand?
Yes.
So they don't look that they don't frown upon you reading your work. So that's two sides of the spectrum, two ends of the spectrum. You got one, they frown upon you reading your work. It's almost considered disrespectful. On the other end of the spectrum, it's considered they honor it because they honor the written word. So what I've done is I've created a space where I've been able to do both. Say I might have a poem that I've memorized. Even if I don't memorize the entire poem, I started writing some poems that have almost like a hook to it. One says, bring me flowers, bring me calla kisses and rose petals hugs and sunflower stories throughout. That's like the hook of a song, but it's poetry, right?
Right.
So I've done that. I've created that poem so that if I memorize the verses, cool. If I don't, guess what I can do? I can freestyle it as long as I come back to the hook, so to speak, right?
Right.
That's a crutch, a tool I created for myself. And therefore, it appears that I've memorized my poem, but guess what? I really ain't memorized the poem, and it doesn't matter if I memorized it or not because the only person that knows that poem is me. Now, once I put that to wax, put that to music and put it on the EP and sell it, then I definitely have to memorize it because your fans are going to want to hear it the way they purchased it.
Right. Yes.
So then there's other things you can do to create a crutch where you seem more so-called professional and it's not frowned upon. It depends on your audience, in any audience. For example, I pretended that I was writing the poem as I said it, and therefore I had a crutch in front of me like a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reciting the poem, and I was reading the poem. But I created the scenario that I was writing it. You understand?
Right.
Which requires some acting. So you can infuse some acting into it so that you can create a prop for yourself. Yes? Does that
yes.
make sense?
Totally.
Okay? So then you can put it to music that makes it easier to remember. You can, like I said, write it like it's a song almost where you have a book and you make it some music to it, and then you listen to it as music so you can memorize it. So
right.
I say all that to say there are some poems that I've memorized because of the way they're written, because I've either put them to music, I've either created a skit around it and created a crutch, or I allow myself to memorize half of it and some of it I freestyle, right? But it all makes sense.
Right.
Then there's poems that are so deep, so heavy that I don't even make an attempt to memorize them because they don't have a certain cadence or whatever. They don't have things. The only way I can memorize that is by studying forever. And those I don't have to worry about because typically those are delivered in motivational speaking type of environments. So, again, you have to know your audience. You have to know what you're walking into. If you're walking into an open mic, I would suggest you find one poem, your heavy hitter, and you memorize that and do it for your open mic, more spoken word, competitive type of thing, events, right?
Yes.
If you're doing it more coffee shops and things like that, on colleges and stuff, you don't necessarily have to memorize them. Again, it's about knowing your audience and knowing how they're going to receive it and adjusting it and making yourself props, crutches, or whatever you need as part of the delivery.
That makes complete sense, and that definitely helps me out a lot because that's been my main insecurity as a new artist. And I've still gotten up and I've still done it anyway. But, it's definitely something that It's a goal that I want to work towards, but like I said, I just wanted to know, in your opinion, you know, how important memorization was, because I do notice, you know, being out here that everyone memorizes their poems except for me.
Well, that's because you're in a, what I call a narrow market right now.
Right.
So as a new poet, I will also suggest that you study the message in your poems and you find other audience outside of the open mic spoken word venues, because I have found that I have more success because of my style, because of my delivery. A, I create my own stuff. That's how I got into the business of producing, because I didn't know I had to produce, direct, and write. That's how I got into the business, because I decided to create a platform that I envision. I go to these places, I'm like, I would love a platform where we tell a story using poetry and songs. And I created this thing called Soul Opera. And in that, because I'm producing, directing, acting, and performing as a spoken word artist, I'm able to write in props and crutches for myself because I have so much on my mind. There's some poems I'm able to discipline myself enough or make the time to learn and memorize, and there's some I can't, you know? But also, I've recognized when I've taken my poetry, because of the message of my poetry, and I package them almost as in my motivational speaking. So when I'm invited to speak, so before I was sought after, I literally would volunteer or do things for free, and say, I see you're having a mentorship to girls today. I would love to come and speak with them for free. And I would
use
my poetry.
Are you sure you're not my spirit animal? Because that is what I do as well.
Yeah. Well, see, I told you, Jacqueline is divine, right? So I would
take.
It's
just amazing. Just talking to you and listening, it's crazy. I know you know exactly what I'm feeling.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. So that's what I would do. I would originally, before they started calling me to hire me, I would call. I would see, you know, especially the smaller nonprofits and the community centers. I was like, hi, if you're having something, I would love to speak for free. And I would use motivational speaking and poetry as my delivery. Therefore, I wasn't expected to what? To memorize my poem, right? And I would always package things as a story. What part of my story am I going to tell today? And I would use that, a combination of poetry and the motivational speaking in that. Okay?
Yes.
I would even do something interactive and get the audience to give me three words. And then I would, as they say in the hip-hop world, come off the dome. And do, even if it's a short verse, people are impressed with that. Right? Even if it's a verse that I remember from another poem and that is happens to work, then I'll use it. And da-da-da. So I've memorized bits and pieces of various poems and sometimes make a whole new poem. It depends.
Right. Okay?
But the key is to package it, to figure out what your message is, to figure out what other audiences besides the open mic arenas, open mic venues, open mic events, that will receive you well based on your message and based on what's the story you want to share. Okay.
Yes. And there's so many different niches here in Charlotte. You know, I literally am just touching the surface. And as I sift through, I'm learning that there's so many different communities and so much diversity. You know, I'm just getting started, so I'm really excited for what's to come.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you another trick, another thing that's important. Break it down into 15 minutes. Almost think of it as a performance versus a poem. How can you deliver 15 minutes of have a 15-minute delivery no matter what? So think of it this way. You got to memorize at least one poem that's more like a spoken word piece. For those open mic venues, you got to memorize at least one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to take some of the stuff that you have and you got to package it in short stories, like 15 minutes worth of delivery. So, for instance, I do things. Everything I do is around peace, love, and poetry. That's what I do. So now what I've done, if people want to hire me, I ask them for how long, and they say 15 minutes. So I have peace, love, and poetry are my sets, so to speak. Think of it as a musician. What are your sets? What are you going to cover? And, like, peace starts off with a poem about peace, right? And then I go into a monologue talk about how to get to your center, to your peace, and da-da-da. I got a poem that says, that was just a piece of my peace. You know what I mean? So I know that poem is a part of that, right? Then after I do the monologue, then I go into I can't sing, but I've learned to sing a couple of verses of a couple of songs. Then I sing a bit of a song. I have the music play off my iPad. I sing a verse off that song, and then I go back into another poem, and then I close out with another monologue. You feel me?
Yes.
So that way, I don't have to worry about memorizing everything. All I got to do is memorize. If anybody calls me, I know if they're booking me for 15 minutes, I'll do peace. If they're booking me for 30 minutes, I do peace and love. If they're booking me for 45 minutes, I do peace, love, and poetry set. But each set is already written down, broken down. Tell me what I'm going to talk about, what two poems I'm going to do, because I'm only going to do two poems, believe it or not, in each set. What I'm going to talk about, and it's the format. So format it. Let me tell you something. You can make money. I make money doing just what I just said to do. You call me, you want to book that set for 15 minutes, you got to pay me $250 to come deliver it. It also helps me because I'm prepared. You understand?
Right.
Now, there are some cases based on the audience, or who, if they can tell me who I'm going to see, what I'm going to do, whatever, that I can take little pieces from all three of them and create my own, its own piece for that specific event. There's also now, but I'm more experienced than you now, that there's times I'm going with a whole plan and I don't do none of it. Spirit leads me to do more or something different.
Right.
But you got to get to that point. But no matter what, I always got what I say, something in the pocket. I always know one poem. I got about four or five poems that I perform more than anything else. I know the majority of those poems based on experience and based on how many times I performed them now and based on the fact that I've put a couple to music, you understand? So
yes.
No matter where you are with your story in 99-17, that's important. There's markets for that. There's a market for, like I don't share much, but I do a lot of domestic violence things because most speakers are always on the victimization side. They're always focusing on you being the victim and you being a survivor. I focus on thriving and how and being in the freedom of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't get all into my story on about what happened and how it happened because that keeps you in victimization mindset. So I'm invited often because I'm one of the few speakers who speak on domestic violence, A, that I use poetry, B, that I don't focus on the victimization of it. I focus on the thriving and freedom of getting through it and beyond it, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the most beautiful things about poetry is focusing on the aftermath. And I just share with Miss Jackie, actually, it's so funny you brought that up because I think it was just yesterday I wrote a piece. I write pieces about people and they don't even know it, and I don't even know them. But it could just be a brief moment. And I wrote something when I talked to a woman who had just gotten her son back out of, like, DSS care. And instead of talking about the sorrow of it, I kind of spoke from the child's perspective, even though he was only two, you know? So
yeah.
It's just amazing how our brains can be so empathetic and just go to different levels and different places. And we're here to write about it.
Right, and that's the gift. So those are the things I'll tell you about getting started. So what else you got for me?
Well, when you were speaking about format, I was going to ask you, does an artist have to fit a format, or can a format, you know, can an artist create their own format, or is it something, a format that they must follow?
No, there's no format that you must follow. None. The good news about being a creator, that you can create. However, I shall say, in some circles, in some cliques, you will may be frowned upon if you don't stick to what they believe is to be the normal or the traditional way of doing things. For example, I know more people in the music world right now. Because I have a tendency to perform and write and compose most of my stuff to music. So therefore, I'm not always invited to spoken word events where it's strict spoken word, the mic and you, you know what I mean?
Right.
And someone told me before, is that because you're no longer a poet? I said, surely I am. Then I have to remind them that Gil Scott-Heron was a poet to music. I have to remind them that a lot of songwriters were poets first. Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire, Tina Marie, you know what I mean?
Right.
I have to remind them of those things. And because I have created a platform, a venue, a style of my own that was not done before anyone else, that to our knowledge, sometimes that's frowned upon. However, on one side, end of the spectrum, sometimes it's frowned upon, but it opens me up to a whole lot of people and a whole group of people, actually a whole nation of people who would love spoken word, but they don't want to go. They felt like it was being too cliquish, you know what I mean?
Right.
They felt like
you don't want to feel like it's competitive because,
right,
you know, when you're overflowing with all this creativity, the last thing you want is criticism. You just want the opportunity to speak. And people would think, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, you're reading it out loud. But it's so much freedom in just doing that, you know. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just freedom in just doing that. So even when I got up, you know, the first few times, you know, I stumbled a few times. You know, I messed up. But like I said, the crowd was so receptive and they were so supportive, you know, which just kept me kind of flowing. We kind of laughed through it, and, you know, we just kept it moving. But when it was all said and done, when I tell you I hadn't felt that free since I was on the stage of Freedom Theater when I was about 14 years old, you know, that's the last time I remember feeling that way when I was a little girl.
Well, the good news is, the blessing is, you're going to call forth those environments. Let's call forth those environments. And if you don't find them, then create it.
Right.
And I'll be glad to come to Charlotte to help you do that.
The other question I wanted to ask you was, do you feel like spoken word is like a male-dominated industry? And if so, how do you maneuver through that, especially being like a young single woman, you know, and wanting the sole focus to be on your work?
Yes. And the reason I believe it's mostly male-dominated is because all lyricists, hip-hop lyricists specifically, are poets that rap to a beat, right?
Right.
Spoken word has a tendency to sound like and be a lot like hip-hop.
Right.
As what it's evolved to. But when you don't have that specific style, if you don't subscribe to that, you have a tendency to be looked like, well, what is she doing?
Right.
But that the main reason I believe it's male dominated is because, again, it's just to me a subculture of hip hop and hip hop or hip hop really is a subculture of spoken word. Really, when you think of it from a timeline purposes, right, creation purposes, hip hop is an evolution of spoken word, again, way back to last poets, Gil Scott-Heron, blah, 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 right?
Right.
But, and so therefore that's why it's male-dominated, because males take to that genre more than us. However, again, look at it like a genre. I tell people, you hip-hop, I'm jazz and smooth, I'm jazz and R&B, soul, I'm jazz and soul, you know what I mean? You might be R&B. You might be R&B with a taste. I got a poem that talks about, you know, it's a hint of hip hop, a taste of jazz. You know what I mean?
Right.
A flash of R&B. You know what I mean? All of that is a combination of it. And there's sometimes I write pieces that are very bluesy, that might have that sound more like a blues piece based on the cadence and how I deliver it. There's some pieces I have that are more hip-hop-ish, you know, because I'm an old-school hip-hop girl. It might sound, there's some pieces that I know sound more like it could be written by Tina Marie because she's a big influence, and I write a lot like she sings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as a female in the business, And that's what I want you to know. It is our gift, but we are still, it is still a business. It's still, we think of our art as a business. We won't subscribe so easily to this struggling artist narrative, right?
Right.
So now the second part, to answer to the second part of your question about being a female, how you maneuver it. A, you seek out safe spaces. You seek out spaces that are not as competitive. They are safer in the coffee shops of the world. They are safer. You feel safer. It's a space where you feel freer and you might feel more accepted and embraced.
And I feel like the intentions are a little, could easily be, a little more easy to identify than some of the, nightclubs or, the little places that they have here when they have it. Because I've done both. I've done the coffee shop.
It's just like anything, first of all. You got to pick and choose where you want to be heard.
Right.
And I refuse to perform in spaces that I know don't necessarily want to hear me.
Right.
I'm not going to a nightclub and perform unless I happen to have written a piece that happens to be where I'm a guest on a hip-hop or a R&B song that somebody's written. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm not going to go to a club and stand there and try to perform poetry when people want to drink and party. They don't want to hear no daggone poetry.
Right.
Why would I do that to myself? Why would I do that to myself? Knowing that my style is not such. Now, if I'm more of a spoken word artist and I sound like hip-hop, then they might more likely listen to me because that style matches that environment. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense.
So people know if I come out to see you and you're performing, singing or whatever, don't ask me to get on a mic at a club. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Unless we've written a song together and I happen to have dropped 16 bars on it and I'm going to come drop 16 bars on it.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But if I don't think I'm going to come here and talk peace, love, and flowers right now.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. And why would I do that to myself? So I got an attitude because you ain't listening. You mad because you I don't know what she's talking about. She's talking
right.
All deep in the spit, talking about the divine and God and all. Well, I don't want to hear that. Keep it real, right?
100.
Everybody, right? Keep it 100, everybody.
100.
No, you're just joining in. This is me, Franchon, and you listen to Master Greer Radio, Beyond the Spoken Word, with and my guest tonight is the lovely Andrea Nicole out of Charlotte, North Carolina. She has been chosen to pick my brain, to call in and ask me questions as a starting spoken word artist in the area. And we just kept it real, real. She was like, what about, going to, I ain't performing in a club. Those of you know me know I ain't doing it.
Listen, you just streamlined my whole process. Thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome. Don't do it to yourself, babe,
Right.
Don't do it to yourself. Because just like with, and I'm going to tell you, with Soul Opera, the production I have where we tell stories of love and life using soul music and poetry. And the platform is this. I go to these I don't even know what to call them, these gospel plays and stuff, right? And they're acting, and the storyline's making a little bit of sense, and then they bust out in the song, and I'm like, what just happened?
Right.
And I would be so confused sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I love opera and I love classical music and stuff like that because I played the oboe when I was younger. So I go one time to this thing called rock opera. Everybody knows that opera is just telling a story but singing the song out. Opera, right?
Right.
Telling a love story mostly. So then one time I went to this thing, rock opera. And they, instead of you singing it in Italian and opera, they told the story singing rock songs. Rock and roll, hard rock. Oh, it was so much rock. I was like, oh, my hair hurts, right? But I thought, wow, that's mad cool. I tell stories. I got something to say. Our music tells stories.
Right.
But we don't do rock. I do soul music. That's what I do. My poetry is soulful. That's what we do. That's how I came up with Soul Opera. And that's what we do. We pick a theme. We tell a story. This theme, this show's theme is He Said, She Said.
Everybody loves this theme. The guys get to be on stage without the girls. The girls get to be on stage at the end. We're doing duets and everything. It might be a poetry and song duet. It might be two poets going back and forth. It might be two singers doing a duet. But my point is, we tell the story, and we do a little acting in it because you got to move the storyline. You got to have something to transition the storyline and keep the story moving. But that's what we do. All I did was flip the format. You understand?
Yes.
When I first did it, people were like, first of all, people who sing, people who perform poetry, do poetry, people who act. Wasn't nobody trying to, my poets is, look, I memorized my poem, that's all I got for it. I'm like, no, but you got to wait for your cue. They like, I don't know what you're talking about. You got to wait for your cue. You know, the singers are like, you can't be busting in a poem right in the middle of my song. I'm like, well, it was just music playing. Yes, I can. Like, they wasn't, we weren't trying to do that. It was too much for them. Girl, it has stretched us and helped us. And so I act, sing, and do poetry now. Okay?
Right.
I didn't do that when I started. My poets, they acting, doing poets, playing instruments, singing. Everybody do four. For everybody that started out with me has gone outside and stretched beyond their original genre, what they were originally doing. And the next thing we know, now, we are in a live music venue that has a bar and food. But we are a whole production. I created a platform where my style would work in that way, where it's a night out. You understand? But you think I'm going to go somewhere where they shooting pool and they got a big bar in the middle? And no.
Right.
And when I come up in the joint, they like, sweet, no. I know you. I got Wilmington trained. Don't ask me. You know better. I'm not doing that.
Nah, I feel you 100%.
And another thing I want to add to that, you got to be ready to, as your brand builds, you got to make it have value, which means you can't do everything everywhere. It devalues your brand.
Right.
Okay, so think about that. What else you got? Well, we got, girl, we've been having it. This has been good. Well,
I know,
8 minutes.
No, I have one more question. My last question was, I don't know how common this is, but do you think that there's anything that you would consider a poorly written poem? Or no, because it's the person's individual expression and that's, you know, their thoughts and their moment.
But this is where I'm old school. This is why I'm going to act my age, okay?
Okay.
Yes, there's something called poorly written. You haven't thought about it. Almost, I think I go to music because it's easiest for people. You got to build to a crescendo. You can't just come at my head from the gate. It's any story, okay? You can't come hard at my head and then you die in the end. And by the end, we don't even know what you're talking about because you hit it so hard in the head early on, right?
Right.
Build your audience. Bring your audience in. Tell the story. Give it ebbs and flows. Give it highs and lows. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And always close on a high note. That's the first thing. That's just from a flow, being well-written as far as how they tell you to write stories when you're writing short stories, right? Or if you're writing a fiction novel, or if you're writing a song, whatever.
Right.
That's just a basic writing rule, unwritten writing rule, right?
Right.
And that's more about how to engage and keep your audience. But also, now this is the old school part. Please watch how you use words and just because you want it to sound like something, make sure it actually goes with what you're saying, it actually makes sense. Please be a study of words and the language before you just decide to write and make sure it makes sense. Just because you got a bad verse don't mean does it go with what you just with the whole poem. You know what I mean? You don't be so busy trying to have the baddest line and make people go, oh, that it don't even go with the poem, the story, and the poem, it don't go.
Right.
To me, that's what makes things poorly written. And then also keep in mind, now, like I talked to you earlier about delivery, what's your product of delivery? If you plan on writing a book or packaging your poetry for the book, a book, make sure you've written it in a way that it is literary worthy. Okay?
Yes.
If you're not and you're just going to do it for EP or CD purposes,
it doesn't matter so much because I'm hearing it rather than seeing it. But once you put it to paper, please make sure it's well written.
Right.
And if you don't know, hire a real editor, not your homie, not your cousin, friend, auntie. Hire a real editor to help you pair that for the written word. I've purchased so many chapbooks and books that I can't even read them because I'm so mad as hell about the grammar, the use of word by comp. I'm just done. I can't even read them.
Yeah.
But when I heard you deliver the poem, which made me buy it in the first place, I absolutely loved it. So that, again, it depends on your delivery and the mechanism you're going to use to deliver that to the public.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. And then
I have some that are only going to be strictly audio.
Because it only makes sense when you hear it.
Right. It only
I write a lot of stuff like that I don't even let anyone read because it wouldn't make sense because it doesn't convey or evoke the same emotion unless, you know, it's conveyed the way I hear it in my head opposed to how they read it on paper.
Right. And so there's some I separate. These are going in a book. These are going to EP.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes.
And then, if I decide to combine the two, there's still only, you know, there are some that are good in both, like Morning Rituals and Fill the Dreams, which you just heard. That's both for written that I happen to say people liked it so much, I decided to put it on audio, but it was already written.
I could see why,
because
it was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Thank you. No, thank you. So, you know, you got to keep those things in mind as far as what is well-written and what's not. And, again, and you gauge what you think you want the public to read. You know how it goes. You know how it goes when it's some things you read, okay, and it's some things you don't. Otherwise, you know, and if you decide to write anything, everybody, if you decide to write, put it in writing, please, please, please check your grammar, check your word usage, check your spelling, all of that, please, and have somebody do it as well. Because it takes away from the quality of the product.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So it's really like that. Well, we only have about 3 minutes left. I really have enjoyed talking to you.
And I've enjoyed you as well. I didn't expect it to be this way. I was pleasantly surprised. I was so nervous, but this was, you know, you made me feel very welcomed and very comfortable. So this was awesome.
Give thanks. So let me just, before we disconnect, I got a few things I want to share with all the listeners. Tell us one more time who you are. Tell us where we can find you again. Oh, and I need to say this to you. Yes, I don't believe you need IG and Snapchat. You got to pick one, though. You have to have that immediately. Because one thing I love about, see, Facebook will give you your connections to those in your immediate circle. It's that type of connection. But what I love about IG is that you will connect with your tribe. People who are going through the same things you're going through, who understand your plight, you will find your tribe on IG, and they will find you.
Okay.
Way beyond. So Instagram is very important that way. I am so connected to people in music and film and poetry and arts, and I'm really into, like, crystals and all. So I'm connecting to all these people outside of all over the world.
Right.
They are my tribe. My Instagram gives me life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I love my Instagram followers, and because we inspire one another through our Instagram. So I would definitely suggest you do it. If you like to be on screen a lot and play a lot and show your face and take selfies, then go for Snapchat. I'm not that girl.
Yeah, I'm not her either. I can't. You know, I'm not. Yeah. I don't
get
judge. No, that to each his own, but that's not my thing either.
Yeah. It's not my thing. So I don't do Snapchat. Plus, I'm 50 years old. So I don't feel like I want to do that. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so well, my point
well,
is...
Well, I'll definitely get that Instagram
yeah,
up
get
and rolling.
Get that Instagram
rolling
popping, and once you wait till you find your tribe coming to you. That's what I love mostly about that. YouTube, I highly recommend, and this is Jacqueline's suggestion too, as you develop content specifically, you want to have your YouTube page set up because people are going to capture you and want a place to upload it, okay, outside
right.
of Facebook. And some of my friends, I have people upload on Facebook. I have a majority of people upload footage that I didn't even capture on YouTube, okay? So start your YouTube page. Also with your YouTube page, which Jacqueline and I, but I, it's my fault, Jacqueline. I know it's your birthday. That's why you're quiet today, but it's my fault. You know, she's helped me organize my Facebook page as far as content to monetize certain things, even though I haven't filled all the content up yet. But she's already organized it to monetize it and taught me how to look at it to monetize it. So as it grows, I will be able to monetize it. So it's better to have it than have to scramble when you start getting content to figure it out, okay?
Yes.
So I would suggest you start it, even if you don't make it public, that you already have it set up. You can always make it private until you're ready to go. And then the last thing I would suggest is find, I use NGB or MBG Social. Once you get multiple pages, you can, you know, find something that will help you with content. And NGB helps me. I'll share that with you in an email separate from here in the inbox. It helps me in that I'm able to schedule 5 or 6 social media messages and content. I can actually find content, relevant content. It helps me do that, okay, without me having to always have my own content. So that's how you keep it going that way, again. And then it'll help you, too, when you begin to monetize. And the last and most important thing, get you a free website through Weebly.com or Wix.com. Right now, Wix has the best templates. It's free. It's user-friendly. Set it up.
You said that was Wix.com?
Yeah. And right, I use Weebly, but I'm about to switch to Wix only because Wix has better templates. They've been evolving where Weebly hasn't, right?
Right.
And then once you're ready to sell product and things like that, you know, you can talk with Jacqueline when you're ready to go to that next level. But you have to have a landing page so that, you know, I went to find you on Facebook and it's 100 people with your name.
Right.
Right?
Yes, and I have a very common name, so that is definitely an issue.
Right. So find a way to, you know, put Andrea, change your name to say Andrea9917 or something.
Okay.
So it could be easy, and then you're the rest of your name. You know what I mean?
Right.
Put it in parentheses or something so we'll know. Oh. Okay. So Jacqueline is saying the best site right now is strikingly.com. Everybody, she's suggesting that you use strikingly.com as your website. It doesn't look like it's free, but it is. Haha. So Jacqueline says use strikingly.com. That's STRIKINGLY.com. I think that's what she wants me to change over to. So, but my point is, you got to have a landing page somewhere so that a place, you know, you have to have a presence because even if when you, no matter what you do these days, people are going to, first thing they're going to do is see if you got a web page. And even though they know darn well they don't be in a web page like that, they got to know you have one. It's the
right.
Weirdest thing. Right? So take some time out, you know, like I said, you know, bite on it every day, do something, and have that part done. And also, people take you more seriously when you have that kind of stuff in place. You know, it's
okay.
Just the way it is. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. All right, so Andrea, tell us now how we can find you in the meantime until you set up your Instagram or your YouTube.
Yeah, this is Andrea Nicole, originally from Philly, residing in Charlotte, North Carolina, up-and-coming spoken word artist. You can find me on Facebook, Andrea Nicole Williams, and I will have an IG up and running in the next 24 hours, so I'll be able to post, you know, promote that as well.
Good. Congratulations, and thank you so much for calling tonight. It's been my pleasure, and you've made my job very easy today. It was just,
oh,
it's
I
just,
appreciate
you know,
that. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. It brings me so much joy to be able to share and help other artists who are doing what I do. You know, it's just this is such a blessing. And thank you to our producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams.
Thank
for,
you,
for producing this awesome show. And please send her a happy birthday shout-out if you don't mind. Please, on one of her websites, Master Grit Radio, or find her on Instagram. Please say happy birthday to my dear friend and colleague and executive producer of this show. But most importantly, she always gets on me because I never tell you guys enough about how to find me, what and where to, where and what I'm doing. Bam. So here it is. Here's my last little bit before we close out for the evening. I am Sweet, S-U-I-T-E. Sweet Franchon is my name. Spelled like a hotel suite, but it sounds so sweet like candy. S-U-I-T-E-F-R-A-N-C-H-O-N. You can find me anywhere, everywhere with that. Like I said, I'm on SoundCloud. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. I got a few Facebook pages, and I got a website, all that good stuff. You can also find me at peacelovepoetry.us or Peace Love Poetry on Facebook as well. What we have going on, we're so excited. This summer is busy, busy, busy. My team is working. I'm driving. I'm mad crazy. But August 30th, we have Peace Love and Poetry Soul Opera, the Soul Opera Edition. This theme this in August is He Said, She Said. You heard me talk about it a little bit earlier, where we tell stories of love and life using poetry and soul music and performing arts. We are excited to be now at the World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. You can find us at, you can find out more details and get your tickets at www.peacelovepoetry.us or visit worldcafelive.com. The show is August the 30th. Doors open at 7, and we start promptly at 8. Yes, 8, you heard it. I don't start late, 8 o'clock, or you're going to miss half the show. Make sure you're there. Tickets only $20 plus fees. Advance tickets, you can call 267-704-3494, 267-702-3494. 267-702-3494. That is August the 30th, Peace Love Poetry Soul Opera Edition. And we're so excited, and I'm stressed out about it, but I'm so glad to be able to deliver this. We are having our first annual Peace Love and Poetry in the Park Festival, September the 16th here in Wilmington, Delaware. If you want more detail, please make sure you email us at plpinthepark@gmail.com. If you're a vendor, a performing artist or a visual artist, and you want to participate, please email us at plpinthepark@gmail.com. The website will be up soon, and it will be plpinthepark.us. It will be plpinthepark.us. That is Saturday, September the 16th, from noon to dusk. We're going to have, we're going to have what you think, music and poetry. We're going to tell stories all day long. We're so excited. We got dancers performing. We have visual artists. We have an elders village. We have a children's village. We are going to have a good time. So make sure you reach out to me, DM me, hit me up. Let me know how you want to share, participate. We're also looking for volunteers as well. If you are outside of the Wilmington, Philadelphia area, that's cool. No worries. You can call me. Let me know what you're trying to bring to your city. I can help you co-produce that. I can help you. If you're an artist and you want a one-on-one mentoring session that Andre Nicole just had, guess what? You can hit us up. You can hit me up at sweetthepoet@gmail.com or call at 267-702-3494 and set up your mentoring session. We are here to help you. There's enough room in this universe for all of us. And we want all of us to eat. We want us to go from surviving to thriving. I am your host, Sweet Franchon, and it's been my honor and pleasure to serve you tonight. Be sure to catch us next month, as I don't know what we're talking about because my producer is awesome and phenomenal, and I trust that she's going to give me something good. So I'll see you around. Thank you for listening to Master Great Radio, Beyond Spoken Word. I'm Sweet Franchon. Peace, love, and light. Have a great night.